year at this time, I go back to Tulsa, where it was cold before I left, but it was just preparing me for the cold that was down there. Because at one point, with the wind chill factor, was like 12 below. Lots of snow, you know. That's not fun, but got around okay. So I go down there to Rhema Bible Training College, which is my alma mater, and I go back there every year. Been doing it for years to get plugged in, to show support and all of that. But every year I come back refreshed. Every year before I go, you know, do I really need to go down there? And one of the hardest things for me is that it's always during the week of Renita's birthday. So many of her birthdays I've missed because, you know, but she's so great with it. She says, go. We've been able to go together a couple of times, but her work schedule, different things don't always make that happen. But it's just such a blessed time. God is so good. He's so faithful, right? And every year I say, Lord, just send me down to minister to somebody. Right? Because everywhere I go, whether I'm there to receive or whatever, I want God to use me in touching other people. And I believe He's done that. It's just amazing. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter or chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to tell you some things and talk about some things today that I believe will bless you, but also admonish you a little bit. Because you got to decide right now if you're in it for the long haul. You've got to decide this morning, is Jesus really the Lord of my life? You have to decide today when the tough gets going, are you going to stick to it or are you going to go? Come on. Because right now, today, and who would have thought this could ever be? There's legislation somewhere, and I don't know whether it's in the House or the Senate or whatever, but somebody has put up a bill that states something like this. It states that anybody that believes the Bible is the inherent word of God, could be labeled as a hate group. Do you hear what I'm saying? And that type of thing is only going to increase. I'm not here to scare you, but I'm here to tell you that there may be pressure coming against us to decide whether we're going to be believers or if we're going to be fleers. I've decided that I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I'm going to stand with the Word. I'm going to expect God to back up His Word, which He does, right? But we're coming to a day where, you know, I believe the Spirit of God is going to rise up big. I don't believe that our country is lost. I don't believe any of that stuff. I believe that Jesus is still Lord. But I also believe that we have to make a decision. Are we going to stand? Are we going to fall? Come on. I've decided to stand. Right? No matter what. There may come a day where, and it's really been happening, where those who've decided that church is essential in parts of the country are been arrested for holding church services. Pastors in America fined over $1 million for meeting. That to me is crazy. Just nuts. But here's what I know. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. We win. Come on. Jesus is Lord. We win. But we've got to make a decision in our lives. Is the Bible true? Is the Bible the Word of God? Right? Now watch, because this is incredible to me. But there's churches who are saying now that the Bible's not really the Word of God. It's not really the standard that we can hold on to. Once you go down that slippery slope, then you're going to get into the place where nothing has truth. But His Word is truth. I said His Word is truth. We've got to establish that in our heart. His Word is truth. I may not perceive that everything in His Word exactly the way somebody else does, but this is my standard. If I see it in the Word, then that's what's going to guide me. That's going to be my compass. That's going to be my focal point. Are you with me? Come on. So verse 1 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. What does that say? Lay it aside. What does that mean? Stop it. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy. Now, you guys probably, you look really holy. You probably have never gotten involved with this since you've been saved, but I can say that I have. Right? What does hypocrisy mean? It means saying something and doing something else. Right? Deceit means that I'm believing something that's false, but I believe it's true. Glory to God. And how about that laying aside all malice? What does that mean? That means quit holding grudges against other people. Quit being their judge. Quit holding hatred in your heart toward anybody. Right? Stop it. Just stop it. Stop it. Evil speaking. What's evil speaking? Don't demonstrate it. Watch. What is evil speaking? Evil speaking is speaking anything against God's Word. Anything that's out of line with what God has said. Right? Doubt is evil speaking. I said, doubt is evil speaking. If God said you're blessed and you're calling yourself cursed, then that's evil speaking. If God is saying you're redeemed and you feel like you're not and you speak that, that's evil speaking. Stop it. Thank you very much. Stop it. Stop it. Now look at, watch, this is good. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. I want to talk to you this morning about what you're eating. What you're eating. This verse is really interesting to me because it says so much, and we're going to check out some other verses. But watch what it says. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word. I love newborns. Don't you love newborn babies? You pick them up and you smell them, and they have that newborn baby smell. It's not quite the same as a new car smell, but it's different, but it's a new baby smell, right? But you pick them up and they're just so cute and they're so wonderful until they're hungry. When a newborn baby is hungry, it's going to let you know. And if you're not quick enough to give the baby the milk that it desires, it's going to get louder. How wah? I mean, have you ever heard that before? It's like, whoa! Somebody do something for that baby, because that baby is just. This says, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the Word. Where's our desire of the Word? See, because that's the truth. The Word is the truth. Where's the desire of the truth? That word desire is something, because in the Greek it means something that's desired, that's wanted. Watch this one. It's something that's lusted after. That's lusted after. What does that mean? That means that I desire that more and more and more and more. And have you ever noticed that lust is a funny thing, because the more you get involved in it, the more that you need of it. You know, whether it's alcohol, perversion, whatever it is, there is never satisfied, because there's something inside of us that wants more. Well, this says to turn that kind of passion in desire for the milk of the Word. For the milk of the Word. some people say, well, you know, I don't want the milkman. That preacher, all he does is preach milk, and I want meat of the word. Well, the only way that milk can be transferred to meat is if it's received. If it's acted on, if it's being accomplished and growing within your body. Desire the milk of the word. It's interesting because a baby, a little baby, and some of you have experienced this more recently than I have. It's been a while for me. But you get the little bottle out and you know, okay, the baby needs 2 ounces at a time or whatever. Don't give it any more than that, but here's the feeding schedule. It's got to be so often, right? And so you got to give it a little bit at a time, just a little bit at a time. But as the baby starts growing up, then you give it more and more and more and more and more and more. Till one day, you get to give it that first baby food. Right? That first baby food. Well, it would be pretty strange for me. Liam, my awesome brother, by the way, my grandson, is 14 today. That's awesome. It's so cool. But watch this. It would be a pretty sad thing for me to say, okay, Liam, come on. I'm going to give you a little bit of milk today. I've got your bottle. First of all, he'd look at me, and then he'd give me a 14-year-old attitude, right? But that wouldn't be nourishing to him at all, because he's grown past that. His body needs more than that. In the spirit, are you still a baby? Because your desire for the milk of the Word hasn't built up inside of you for more. And for us, it's like, okay, Lord, we need to grow. And why is this important? Because a baby, although they're wonderful and they add so much to our life, there's no productive element of them. In other words, the baby can't get up and do the dishes. Right? The baby can't go to work and bring food home. The baby's not. But as they grow up, then the baby is able to contribute to the family. God wants us to grow up because there's a world that needs us. There's a family that needs us. But we're still sitting as babies going, ho-wah, 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 ho-wah. Come on. It's time for us to grow out of that. How do you grow out of that? You measure yourself against the Word, and wherever the Word says to change, you change. Wherever the Word says to do something, you do it. Come on. When it says not to do it, you don't do it. Right? But are we sucking it up? Right? Are we taking it in? Are we allowing it to transform us, as it says in Romans chapter 12? It says that we can renew our minds with the Word of God and it will transform us. Right? But I don't want to be known as a baby when I get to heaven. You know, there are people, and it's awesome. I don't know if this is true, but I'm just going to use my imagination for a minute. There are people who have deathbed confessions. Right? I'm looking at Walt and Jackie, and his name was Tom, wasn't it? Was it Tom? Tom was into some other things, and before, I mean, they worked with him for years. I mean, Walt witnessed to him for years. The whole family witnessed him to him for years. But he was getting close to his death, but he was involved with some things that were demonic. And he sensed the demons coming for him. He saw them coming through the wall. He saw them coming into his bedroom. And Kim actually led him to the Lord, and the whole atmosphere in his room changed. You could go into his room, and if I'm not telling this right, you're welcome to correct me, but you could go into his room before he came to the Lord, and the temperature in his room was cooler. than the rest of the house. It's real. But I don't know if it was a week, 10 days, whatever it was, before he actually died, he gave his heart to Jesus. Less than a week. Watch that. And at the end of that time, the whole atmosphere in the room changed. His countenance changed. He's began to see angels instead of demons. Come on. He's began to see heaven instead of hell. Right? So he just got saved and then he went to heaven. So he was just a baby going to heaven. I think there's nurseries in heaven. for the babies to come in. And, yeah, you're here, but you got to go over here because we got to feed you. I don't want to get to heaven and say, to the nursery, boy. Yeah, but I've been saved for 30 years. To the nursery, boy. Why? Because I didn't desire. I didn't lust after. I didn't passionately want the Word of God. I want the Word of God. I want the written Word of God, but I also want His Word spoken to my heart. Has anybody in here ever had God speak to you? Now, most of the time, I mean, He can speak to you in visions, He can speak to you in dreams, He can do so many things to demonstrate to you, but the most common way that He just puts something in your heart, and it comes up as a thought. I want God thoughts. I've had lots of them. It's so cool. I've had lots of them and it's so awesome. But you see, I desire that. I want to go after that. How many know that if you want to live strong and live long in the natural, you have to eat right? Even children, watch this. You feed them your mother's milk, and you all the way. But if you're a good parent, you're going to feed them good things. But if you know, and I'm not putting guilt on anybody, but if you decide, you know, they like that sugary cereal better than they do this healthy food, and it's less hassle for me, I'm just going to buy them the junk, right? And so what does that do? That puts in their body a desire for sugar. Don't look at me so holy. I have a big desire for sugar to this day. Right? But it's because I ate the wrong thing at one time and made that a staple in my life. In order for me to get rid of the sugar appetite, I have to put things down and come back to eating what's right. And it doesn't happen overnight. Some of us have been away from the Word, eating on something other than the Word. And it's produced things in our spiritual life that aren't healthy. So if I want to get healthy, I need to come back to the Word and almost from a standpoint of I just got to be in this and shut everything out. Have you ever noticed that when you go on a plan to lose weight, that you can't have a little bit of cake? You can't have a little bit of pie. You have to say, no! But inside you're screaming, I want pie! Come on. I want two brownies! Right? Come on, give me more, give me more. But in order to get that desire, or watch this, that hunger for that particular thing to subside, I have to deny it. In order for me to grant a desire for something else. I'll just I'm going somewhere because I feel like we're shoving ourselves full of worldly information and other things, and I like Facebook, but I hate Facebook and all of, you know, other things. Why? Because we're feeding ourselves with things that don't belong in there, and we have to begin to get back to feeding ourselves on the Word of God. Because I want to hear from God. Right? So I must, at some point, put that desire back in there. How many know that we're spirit, soul, and body? Your spirit is aligned with God. Your spirit desires God, wants God, everything. Your mind is kind of in between, but your flesh doesn't want to have anything to do with God. Your flesh wants your desires rather than His desires. Watch this now. Verse 2 again. As newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Anybody in here tasted of the grace of God? He hasn't struck you dead. You're in here breathing. You've tasted of the grace of God. Right? Come on. God's grace, what is God's grace? How has He been gracious to me? He's given me so many things that I couldn't earn, don't deserve. It's just beyond my wildest expectation that God would think that way of me. I've tasted that the Lord is gracious. I've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 4, coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God, and precious. You are also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. This doesn't thrill you as much as it does me, because I've been studying on this just a little bit. Because the Word of God became alive on the inside of me, and because I at one point took the Word of God, added my faith to it, and made Jesus the Lord of my life, and then began to feed myself with the Word of God, my expectations of who God is and what He wants from me is grown. And watch this. I've become a priest unto God. Now that's kind of a little bit dark to us because we don't operate in that system. But under the Old Covenant, under the Old Testament, the priests are the ones that worked in the tabernacle where the presence of God was, and they kept it clean and they kept it right, and they made sure that the anointing oil was in the right place. They made sure that the offerings that were sacrificed for different sins were taken care of. They were the ones who led worship and all of those things. But God said, now that you're a child of God, that you've tasted of the Word of God, you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, you're now that priest.
Yes. Thank you.
And you can offer sacrifices unto God. What's a sacrifice unto God? Well, there's many things, and I'll just list a couple. First of all, you laying your life down for Him is a sacrifice. Right? When you deny your flesh and say, my flesh wants this, but flesh, shut up. That's the best thing you can tell to your flesh. Shut up. Because this is what God wants, and that's what I desire, so I'm going to do what He wants rather than what you want. That's a sacrifice. And by sacrifice, I'm not going, look at me, poor me, I have to give that up. That's not what I'm talking about. A sacrifice is something that you offer to God. God, this is my offering to you, Lord. This is my offering to you. Watch this. There's verses in the Bible that just blow me away. And one of them is found in Ephesians. It says to forgive others even as Christ has forgiven you.
Amen.
I'm forgiven. Brother and sister, I'm forgiven. What does that mean? God doesn't hold anything against me. There's not a book up in heaven that says, oh, These are against Jesus. I mean, these are against Bruce. Why? Because I'm identified in Christ, and Jesus took every one of those check marks onto himself that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So watch this. First of all, it blows my mind because how could I ever forgive somebody else like Jesus does? I love y'all. I love people, but I'm not sure I'd get on a cross and take your sin on me and pay your penalty. But Jesus did. But I can act the same way because He's in me. And so when my flesh says, hate them, my flesh says, I want revenge over them, my flesh says, you know, take those suckers out. Right? If I'm yielded to the Spirit of God, I can offer that pain up to the Lord as a sacrifice and say, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. Why? Because I've tasted of the Word of God and I found out that you're gracious and you're working on the inside of me. You see, when you got born again and you're being fed and growing up in the things of God, you're a completely different person with such potential for the kingdom of God that it's beyond our imagination. And when we get filled with the love of God that passes all understanding, it says that He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think because Christ has been formed in you. Glory to God. Mm-mm-mm. You know, I figured out that you can't feed yourself with the desires for destruction of the flesh, you know, in feeding that and grow as you should in the Lord. So what is it that drives passion? What drives passion is the desire for the fruit. I mean, to a drug addict, it's the high, right? To whatever addiction you have, whatever that is, it's like, and it's if for a motorhead, it's like, I want the faster car, you know, I want the, and it's never satiated. But watch this. How about for us? How about for us? Man, I want to drink your word in, Lord, because I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Paul said it like this in Philippians. He gave his degree in all the things that he'd done, and he's got a degree, right? I mean, he did some awesome things. But he said, I count them as dung. Strong word. As rubbish that I may gain Christ. And to know Him, I'm thinking, if you don't know Him, I'm way behind. I mean, He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and He had revelation of what Jesus accomplished. And He said, if you don't know Him, but that I might know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, I want to know Him. That drove His passion to suffer what He suffered and to do what He did because His desire was to know Him. So my desire for the Word is not so that I can say I read 10 chapters today. My desire for the Word is not to say, well, I've got a degree in biblical studies. Or I have a PhD in theology. Right? Some people do. Some people go, I'm a doctor of theological studies of, you know, and I can tell you all, listen, that's all great. As long as the focus is on knowing Him and having a personal relationship with Him and knowing who He is so that we can know who we are. But we have to come back to the Word. When I read the Word, it's to know Him. When I read the Word, it's to understand Him. Do you know that when you read the Bible, you're talking to God? And more importantly, he's talking to you. See, that's why the attack at the integrity of the Word of God is so malicious. Because how can you know God if there's nothing to shoot at? Right? If he's just everywhere, all over the place, then you don't know who he really is. Glory to God. But we have his Word. Watch this. Let's go on. Because woo! This is so incredible. Verse 6 says, therefore... Wait a minute. Did I get to where I wanted to go? No. Verse 4 says, coming to him as a living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. There, verse 6, therefore it's contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Who is the chief cornerstone? I heard it a little bit. Who is it?
Jesus!
Come on. Is he still the chief cornerstone?
Yes.
You know what a chief cornerstone, what a cornerstone for a house is? It's the reference point to build everything else.
Amen.
So if you know where the cornerstone is, you know where the third floor door is supposed to be. Right? If you don't know where the cornerstone is, and if that's not right, if that's not set in the right place, then you're going to have trouble when you go to build on top of it. But Jesus is my cornerstone. And he who believes on him, and Jesus will by no means put to shame. Verse 7, therefore, you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone and the stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. I never want Jesus to be offensive to me. Come on, never, 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 never. And they stumble being disobedient to the Word. 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 And they... Do you ever stumble? Because you're disobedient to the Word? Come on. To which they were also appointed. Everybody that's been born on this earth is appointed to Jesus. Everybody. They just don't know yet, or they reject it, or whatever. But look at verse 9. How many in here know Jesus as your personal Savior? Come on, you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you want to know who you are? Do you want to know who you are? Okay. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which are against your soul. What I'm saying is, are we still going after the Word? Are we still going after the Word? Are we still? Let's go. Time is slipping away, but go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And I just want you to take heart for yourself and ask yourself, does the Word mean anything to me, or is it just a duty that I have to perform? Is the Word of God something that I desire? And I can tell you real quickly whether you do or not by whether you read it or not. That's not too hard. And let me ask you this. Was there a time where you read it more? Was there a time where you desired it more? Was there a time where maybe even you were so excited, you went to people, you went, man, I was reading in the Word, you got to hear what God showed me. When's the last time that happened? What I want to do is pull us back to that desire. The Bible says those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. But those who don't, it doesn't say this, but it says, but you just, you know, logically think it out. Those who don't, won't. Verse 12, chapter 5, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, the Word of God, and you have come need to have milk and not solid food. Do you know that you can get to a place where your body isn't working right because you haven't been feeding it right, and they have to take you back and put you on a diet, right, that's not solid food? But watch this. God wants us to come back to the place. Even if we're there, God wants us to come to the back to the place and start drinking the milk again. And say, Lord, I'm coming for more. I'm coming for more. I'm coming for more. I'm coming for more. Look at, for everyone who partakes of only milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have made their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What does that mean? If you're a baby, it's because you don't know the word. You don't know how to operate in the word. Right? Glory to God. Glory to God. We can't fool ourselves. Do you know that you can be saved for 30 years and still be a baby? Right? Because milk and solid food are determined by how you use the Word of God. Glory to God. Well, so what? I mean, what if I'm still on milk? Keep drinking. Keep drinking. And exercise what you're, you know, what God's dealing with you about. Read the Word of God and begin to operate in it and become skillful at it, become better at it. Watch God do some things. I think we need to close right here, but here's what I'm offering to you today. I'm offering you an opportunity to examine yourself, as I'm examining myself, even as I'm talking. Where is the Word prioritized in your life? Where is the Bible really prioritized? What is your foundation? Is your foundation your opinion? Or is it the Bible? Is your foundation what society says? Or is it the Bible? And if it's outside of there, and I'm not putting condemnation or trying to put anybody in a position to say that I'm better than you, because we all know that's not right. But what I'm saying is that God desires us to come back to His Word and make it a priority once again. If you don't have a reading plan, if you're not in the Word every day, get in the Word every day. Find Psalms, find Proverbs, find wherever you are, just trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to you that day. Because watch this, when you have a foundation in the Word of God, you'll discern what's good and what's evil. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Many people have been drawn aside and drawn afar off because they haven't read the full Word of God. And somebody comes up with a, thus saith the Lord. You know, I believe in prophecy. I believe in God giving words of wisdom and words of knowledge. I've seen it operate over and over and over and over again. But if somebody gives me a word from the Lord, And first of all, if it doesn't sit right in here, I throw it out. But really, if I know that it violates this right here, I definitely throw it out. Right? Because it's this word that allows me to discern between good and evil. And watch this. God is not up there saying, all right, you have to read 10 chapters a day, and I want you in there. No, what he's saying, I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to know me. I want my thoughts to be known to you. I love you. I like hanging around with you. Again, God wants to hang around with me. He does. He does. And every time I open this book, He is. And some of it, I don't understand. Some of it go, why'd you do it that way, God? And sometimes I don't get an answer. And sometimes I'm getting answers 15 years later after I ask it the first time. Because He's got to get me in the position to where I'll fully and truly understand. So His Word, it comes back to His Word. It comes back to believing His Word, standing on His Word. But before you can do that, you have to know His Word. And the only way you can know His Word is to feed on it.
Yes.
Glory to God. I mean, I knew a preacher once, every meal that he sat down with his kids, that says, we're going to partake of earthly food in just a minute, but we're going to feed on spiritual food first. Does that sound religious to you? Or does that sound like somebody that understood the significance of the nutritional value of the Word of God bringing it to the spirit of man? Come on. Hallelujah. Yeah.
But in the kingdom, in the spirit realm, the more we feed ourselves, the more we desire more.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The Lord said that His kingdom is opposite of what we experience. Same thing with sowing and reaping, you know. Oh no, I have a little bit, but I have enough to maybe sow something. Same principle. We give, even though we don't have it, we need to replenish it.
Absolutely. I like it. Now watch this. That's good, Zach. I said I was going to close. Well, this is my second closing. It's not that I lied, and I never will go there. But watch this. This is found, and you don't have to turn there, but this is found in John 8, 31, or 30. It says, and He spoke these words, many believed in Him. Jesus. And Jesus said to those who believed Him, how many in here believe Jesus, believe in Him? Then you're in a great category, but watch this. It says that, watch, this is so good. He said it this way. He said to those who believe in Him, if you abide in My Word. If. You believe in Me, but do you abide in My Word? What does abide mean? It means to live in. Live with your constant companion. He says, I saw this over 30 years ago, and it's so good, still good. Then you are My disciples indeed. So not all believers are disciples. Not all believers are disciples. They're just believers. And that's great. You're a believer, you're going to heaven. That's awesome. But watch this. It goes on to say, because we'll quote this verse without quoting the two before it. He said this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's not the truth that makes you free. Let me say that again. It's not the truth that makes you free. It's the truth that you know, that you have an intimate relationship with. Because you've discipled yourself in the Word of God to know what the truth is. It's that out of relationship with Him where true freedom comes. Amen? Amen. So it's a good thing. It's an awesome thing. It's something we should aspire to. Did y'all get anything this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your presence here today. I thank You that, Lord, as have You used me, God, I just pray that these words would penetrate the hearts and the mind. Lord, You didn't bring Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And God, I ask You, just all of those who are listening, either this morning or later, God, I just ask that You would touch them. And my desire, Lord, my heart, is to put into them, Father, just a little bit of a hunger to pick the Word up again and to begin to read it on a consistent basis. Lord, I ask You to cement that into them. Father, if anybody doesn't know You, all they have to do is confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus is the Messiah, He is the Lord, and that, Father, You raised Him from the dead, and You said they would be saved. So make Jesus the Lord of your life. And if you need prayer for anything else, glory to God. As we close, we'll pray for one another, but we just pray over everybody that's listening. In the name of Jesus, I thank You, Lord, that You're healing Gordon in the hospital, Father. I thank You, Lord, that You're meeting the needs of all of those who are hurting today, Father. I thank You for breaking off depression in Jesus' name. Lord, just reveal Yourself to one and all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.